Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today provides a contrast between two very different men. One man is rich and powerful. He is at the apex of worldly power. He is well connected with all sorts of influential friends. He is dressed in fine clothes and eats the best foods. The other is a poor man with no political connections. He is dressed in camel's hair and a leather belt and lives in the desert. And for food, he eats locusts and wild honey. One of these men is an example of strength and courage. The other man lives in fear every single day of his life. Now, which one do you think is which? Who's the one who lives in fear and who is the one who displays great courage? Well, the man who displays that great courage is the man who eats locusts. His name is John the Baptist. The other man is Herod the Tetrarch, Herod Antipas. And he lives in bondage to his fear. What's the difference between these two men? Why does this one man who seemingly has everything live in constant fear while the other man who seemingly has nothing displays strength, courage, and peace, even in a dangerous situation? Now, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's talk about the distinction between Herod and John the Baptist. Number one, Herod lived in fear. Now, again, I can't overstate the fact that Herod seemingly has everything. He is one of, if not the most powerful man in all of Israel. He is rich. He has pretty much anything he wants. He lives a lavish lifestyle, but he lives his life in bondage to fear. If you just read Mark chapter 6, it mentions all these different things that Herod is afraid of. First of all, Herod is afraid of John the Baptist himself. His preaching has Herod all shook up, to quote another famous king. He does not want to hear the truth about his sin, but he knows John is right. Herod is afraid of his wife, Herodias. Herodias used to be his brother Philip's wife, but he stole her away from him immorally. Herod wants to release John, but his wife won't hear of it, and Herod feels he has no choice but to obey his wife's commands. Now, God's plan for marriage is two people working together as partners, as friends, as teammates, two people on the same page, but that is not Herod's marriage. He's afraid of his wife, what she might do if he were to release John from prison. Herod is afraid of John the Baptist. He's afraid of his wife. And at this party, his own birthday party, he's afraid of his guests. When Herodias and Salome plot against Herod, he ends up falling into their trap and agrees to give Salome anything she wants. When she asks for John's death, Herod gives in. Why? Because of his oaths and his guests. He did not want to break his word to her. In other words, Herod doesn't want to look like a fool in front of all these people. He doesn't want to look like a liar. He would much rather be a murderer instead. And that's what he becomes. Herod is afraid of Jesus. Following John the Baptist's death, he hears about Jesus preaching and teaching, doing miracles, and he believes that this is John the Baptist who has come back from the dead and is now haunting him. Herod is afraid of everything. He lives his life in constant fear. Why? Well, one reason, he got it from his dad. His dad was a guy named Herod and the Great. And I put the Great in quotation marks because he's called great, but he was not really that great. He's called great because he was some great architect and builder, but he wasn't great. He was a psychopath. A psychopath who killed both his enemies and many of his own family members. You see, that Herod also lived his life in fear. He was completely paranoid about losing his throne and was immediately suspicious about anyone or anything that could threaten his grip on the kingdom. That Herod was so paranoid that when he found out that a rival king, the Messiah, had been born in Bethlehem, he decided that the best course of action was to kill every single child in the area surrounding Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. Dozens of children died in that horrific act. See, both of these Herods live under the bondage of fear, suspicion, and paranoia. What a miserable way to live. It truly is bondage. Now compare that kind of fear, the fear that Herod had, to the incredible courage of John the Baptist, a man who would speak the truth no matter what it would cost him. What makes John so courageous? Was he some sort of superhuman person? Is he a superhero like Superman or Batman? No. No, he's a normal, sinful human being, just like you and me. Called to be a prophet, to be sure, but very much a human being. But John had something that Herod lacked, and that was faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus would be there to encourage John when John needed it the most. Encouragement means to make people more courageous. You know, life is really hard, and we all need encouragement from time to time, and don't ever underestimate the power of encouragement. But the greatest encourager of all time is Jesus Christ himself. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the encouragement he gave to Jairus? Don't be afraid, just believe. Remember what he said to the Canaanite woman who asked for her demon-possessed daughter to be healed? Woman, you have great faith. And of course, Jesus was constantly encouraging his disciples, even on the night when he was betrayed. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. John 16, verse 22. Over and over again, we see Jesus encouraging those who put their faith and trust in him, and he would do the same for John as well. John was arrested for speaking the truth. He stood up against the immoral marriage of Herod and Herodias. And, bowing down to Herodias' wishes, Herod had him arrested. In prison, John becomes discouraged. He wonders if somehow he got his signals crossed. Maybe Jesus isn't really the Messiah. Maybe this is all for nothing. John sends two of his disciples to Jesus, as described in Luke chapter 7. And they ask him, are you the one we have been waiting for? Jesus answers John with words and with actions. He encourages John, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. He encourages John through his words to hang in there. John, you are blessed, and your faith will lead you to everlasting life. But he also encourages John with his actions. He describes what he is doing. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Luke 7, verse 22. That's what Jesus has been doing. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Good news, the gospel, is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus is asking John to remember the prophecies of the Messiah, especially the prophecies from Isaiah. Isaiah 29, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61. See, these are the marks of the Messiah, the actions of the Christ, exactly as John had preached and predicted. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. When John hears that answer, no doubt he was encouraged, strengthened in his faith, and able to remain faithful until the Lord himself would call him home to heaven. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, "Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." John has now experienced that ultimate victory. And right now, this very moment, he is standing in the presence of the Lord in heaven itself. Don't underestimate the power of encouragement, especially when it comes from Jesus. And the good news is, Jesus doesn't just encourage John, he also encourages us. You know, we are like John. We live in a difficult world, a world full of difficulty, a world full of opposition, a world full of suffering and pain. And like John, we too have our own doubts, our own struggles in the faith. And so we all need encouragement. And our Lord Jesus is there to encourage you through his words and through his actions. There are so many encouraging words from Jesus to help us in our everyday life. For instance, John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Or John 14 verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." And of course, Matthew 28:20, the promise of Jesus, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Jesus will be with us always. You see, Jesus loved to encourage people, and he loves to encourage you. And he speaks words of encouragement to you every time you open up your scriptures. Because we have not only the words of his earthly ministry, we have even more words of encouragement from the whole Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, because these are all the Word of God, and therefore they are the words of Christ himself. Do you realize that the Bible is a book written specifically to encourage you? Romans 15 verse 4 says, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So God wrote a whole book, the Bible, to encourage you and to strengthen your faith in Christ. But of course, Jesus did much more than just say encouraging words. Jesus is a man of action. And what Jesus has done for each one of us provides us with the ultimate encouragement. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." This is our ultimate source of encouragement in a difficult world. First and foremost, Jesus died in your place on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, so that all of your sins might be forgiven. And then, 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the dead, so that he might save us from sin, from the devil, and from the power of death itself. By his death and by his resurrection, we now have everlasting life with him, and no power on earth can take that promise from us. Jesus gives us the ultimate form of encouragement. He constantly encourages us so that we do not need to live our lives in fear. He encourages us through his word. All these things were written in the past so that you might have endurance and encouragement through the scriptures. "Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." And Jesus encourages us through his actions. Through his death and through his resurrection, we have everlasting life right now. That's why we can be sure of Jesus' promise. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.